Welcome to SCOTUSCast. On February 20th, 2008, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in CBOCS West v. Humphreys on whether employees may bring race retaliation claims under 42 U.S.C. 1981. The day before, on February 19, 2008, the court heard oral argument in Gomez-Perez v. Potter, which asked the question of whether federal employees can bring a retaliation claim under ADEA. In this episode of SCOTUSCast, Ray Vann, General Counsel for the Equal Employment Advisory Council, discusses the two cases. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Attorney Vann.
On February 20th, 2008, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral argument in the CBOCS West v. Humphreys case, which is an important one involving the question of whether Section 1981 of the Civil Rights Act of 1866 provides a cause of action for retaliation. EEAC, the Equal Employment Advisory Council, filed a friend of the court brief supporting Cracker Barrel's position that Section 1981 does not contain a retaliation cause of action, and thus urging the Supreme Court to reverse the lower court's ruling in this case. Just by way of background, a respondent in this case, Hedrick Humphreys, sued Cracker Barrel Old Country Stores, alleging that he was discriminated against on the basis of his race, African American, and he also claimed that he was subjected to unlawful retaliation for having complained about some discriminatory employment practices against a fellow African-American employee. Mr. Humphreys brought his action under both Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 as well as 1981, but his Title VII claims, rather, were dismissed as a result, evidently, of his failure to timely file his complaint within the requisite time period. The federal district court that heard the case also dismissed his Section 1981 claim, concluding that he had failed to establish a prima facie case of retaliation or race discrimination. The district court did not address the issue of whether or not retaliation cause of action exists under Section 1981 specifically, but the Seventh Circuit did, and in a divided ruling, reversed the district court's decision in part, finding that implied cause of action for retaliation under Section 1981. In doing so, the panel majority relied pretty heavily on the U.S. Supreme Court's 2005 decision in Jackson versus Birmingham Board of Education, which recognized the cause of action for workplace retaliation under Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972, even though the statute there does not expressly allow for retaliation claims. The crux of this case is whether Section 1981, which prohibits intentional race discrimination in the making and enforcement of contracts, also permits plaintiffs to sue their employers under a retaliation theory. Unlike Title VII, as well as the Age Discrimination and Employment Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act, other federal employment non-discrimination laws, Section 1981 does not expressly contain a retaliation provision. So the issue here is whether the Supreme Court ought to read into Section 1981 a retaliation cause of action that was not provided for by Congress, particularly here where Section 1981 was amended in 1991 by Congress. At oral argument, a number of the justices appeared hesitant to broaden Section 1981 to include a retaliation cause of action, and EEAC argued in its amicus brief that creating such an action for retaliation under Section 1981 not only would expand the number and scope of claims brought under the statute, but also would undermine Title VII's well-established administrative enforcement procedures that are designed to resolve workplace disputes in a timely manner and without resort to protracted litigation. The aim under Title VII is basically to try to resolve matters informally and expeditiously in lieu of litigation being the avenue of last resort. There are no similar administrative procedures under Section 1981. In addition, Section 1981 does not contain any statutory caps on damages, and it provides a much longer period within which these types of claims can be brought. Employers really have an interest in ensuring that employment disputes, claims of discrimination, are identified and resolved as early on as possible, particularly in the case of retaliation, where if the allegations are substantiated, perhaps through an internal investigation, the employer really wants to get that bad actor out of the workforce. Now, while not all employees have an opportunity to complain internally, certainly the Title VII administrative process enables employers to learn about potentially unlawful employment practices by their managers and supervisors much early on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.